Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour. Did you just do the blue arrow thing, Jay? Thanks, Jades. 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I want to read a couple of so I like this. Brady, I get that you feel Malone can somehow do more, and you want him to turn over every stone looking for an answer, but at what point will you admit that really no matter what he does, it ain't going to matter? Maybe. Probably. But I want to see something. You know, I know you might lose, but I'd like to see more fight, more throwing everything at him. Coaches like to say things like, what was Vic Fangio said, death by inches. And John Elway liked to say things like, going out kicking and screaming. I guess sometimes I just want to see players take on that philosophy. That's what I'm going to say. Let's take it. I will admit, Golden State's weapons, are they going to win the championship? I think Golden State can win. Yeah, I think Golden State's firepower is going to be unrivaled. I mean, you have Jordan Poole's the best free throw shooter in the league. Did you know that? Steph Curry is a no miss. He never misses free throws. Oh, and Klay Thompson has now found his shot. Draymond Green is the glue to this team in the middle. And you're right, Dixon. Okay, Dixon says, I know I've been sending grumpy texts. Sorry for contributing to the bad mood. So let's just enjoy however many games the Nuggets have left and hope they keep battling. See, that's what I'm saying. I want to enjoy it and see them keep battling. I'm not saying a 2-point, 5-point loss is going to feel necessarily any better, but probably. Then you actually walk away going, wow. Jamal Murray and MPJ will make the difference next year. But right now, it's hard to feel that way. Nuggets can do it. They can hang with this team. They did it in the two first periods of game one and game two. Can they do it for three periods? Three more periods after that. That's the thing. Oh, look at this joke. Knock, knock, who's there? Oh, for who? Oh, for sweep by the Warriors. That's just, Jades, come on. Get that, Susan and Cheryl, they don't like that. They don't like that. They smoke cigarettes and their voice is really deep. But that's why they sound like that. Mysterio says, the den is a happy place. I think I already read that. Hey, the Rocks are rolling, though, man. They are absolutely killing it to start the season. Tanner asked me this morning, because again, I'm watching Tanner's tweets and, he's got a lot of, you heard it here first. He wants to be there. And I get it. Listen, when I first started doing my show years ago, I always wanted to say, I'm going to go for the underdog and I'm going to be the only one saying it. I truly think he believes it, though, by the way. Mine was all just a shtick. No, it wasn't. You guys know I go for the underdog sometimes. But I would say things like, hey, I'm going all in. Mark my words. CSU's going to a bowl game this year or something like that. Because there is something about it. If you really believe in the team, you kind of want to be the guy that says it. That's what we're in this for, right? We all have takes. We all want to be right about stuff. I was right about the Bradley Chubb thing. Remember that, Dixon? That's about it. But I'm wildly entertaining in my process of being wrong all the time. Put that on a t-shirt, Jades. So Tanner's sitting down in my office and he's like, when are you going to actually say, when are you going to actually admit that the Rockies are better than you're giving them credit for? Jades, tell me if I'm wrong here. I do believe the Rockies are good. You can be good and not make the playoffs. I'm just not ready to jump onto that playoff wagon yet. You know what? I didn't think they'd win last night. Chad Kuhl and the gang took care of business. I think they can win this series now. This was the game I was worried about, and then you're forced to have to figure it out and try to split this thing. But now I feel like, okay, what? You got Freeland and Marquez the next 2 days? Certainly feels like you might be able to win this series against the Phillies. And the Phillies aren't probably where they're going to be. They're probably going to be a better team as we go. But, I think that this would be a significant series win for the Rockies. But I'm baby-stepping it, Jades. I don't need to be right or wrong about the Rockies. I just want to say, hey, I'm not going to get too crazy in April. But I would like to see if they could pull away from that 500 mark even more in the month of April. And they have this key series happening again, game two tonight against the Phillies. Then they play a four-game series against the Phillies starting on Monday, the 25th. So, like, those series, that's what if we can get out of that virtually unscathed, a couple losses in that run, you got Detroit in the mix too in the middle. Then you walk away going, okay, tell me more. It's like, you remember Tim Tebow, Jades?
Oh, yeah.
You remember when Tim Tebow and the Broncos beat the Steelers in the first round of the playoffs? And everybody went nuts. And Tebow threw that touchdown pass to, God rest his soul, Demaryius Thomas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, Brady, are you gonna? I didn't have a show then. But I was always doing sports talk well before I had a microphone in front of me. And people would say, well, are you finally going to give Tebow his just due? And I said, no. He's got to do it again. And again. And again. Consistency earns respect. Tebow didn't have that. That was his best game. His best game ever. Games before that, he'd complete like two passes, three passes, whatever. That was his best game ever. And then he was terrible against the Patriots, and that was it for Tim Tebow. Am I comparing him to the Rockies? No, I'm just saying I need to see you do it well into May, well into June, before I'm ready to say that we've turned the page.
Personally, for me, I think it starts with these next two games against the Phillies. The Rockies have four batters hitting over 300, and then from there, you have Ryan McMahon and Charlie Blackman that are barely hitting over 200, and the rest are in the 100s. That bottom half of the bottom half of the lineup needs to come around offensively in these next two games, figure it out where you're at home so that you can produce on the road on these next. I mean, you have a six-game.
Well, and the other thing, you're right. They've been on the road twice this year, and that's when they're typically pretty bad. They've had two road games so far. So that's why it's like, hey, if you won last night, I didn't expect you to win. Kuhl got the win. Great. You are 7-3. You win this series, you know, and then you're on the road. You got a huge road test coming up. That's also kind of like win some road games. Detroit's a, what, 500 team or so far right now. I don't know how good they're going to be.
Yeah, Detroit, I mean, they're in a similar position as the Rockies right now.
But you go and you win that series on the road, and then you go out on a four-game series against Philadelphia, and if you can split that, or heaven forbid you even win that series, okay, wow. You just went out on the road and put together some wins. That's when you turn some heads. That's when you turn some heads, no doubt. Chicago, I would have liked to see them win the series. I'm satisfied with the split there at home. This is a test. It's a home test, but still, it's a Philadelphia team that I thought would be better than them. And then Detroit, kind of so-so, but it's on the road. They were really bad on the road last year. Really bad. So if you can, you know, you're 2-0 on the road right now, get to 4-1, then, yeah, I mean, you're happy with that. And then you go against Philadelphia to end the month, essentially. You got Cincinnati in there, too, a couple games with Cincinnati. Then I think that's when you start saying, all right, okay, great, here we are. Test one completed. April, you're good in. You were really good this April. What does that do for May? Second test, engaged. Jerry Schimmel told us yesterday, the voice of the Rockies, He takes it month by month. So we would take it in April and go, fantastic. They're typically good in April. They were really good in April.
Well, and to recap on what you were talking about last night, I mean, yeah, I had no expectations of the Rockies winning, but Chad Kuhl is your best starting pitcher right now. He's thrown, I mean, he's had two starts, but he has a 0.87 ERA. He's pitched 10 innings, and he has 9 strikeouts with an 8.7 whip. I mean, the opponent's batting average right now against him is 118. Like, that is the lowest on your team apart from a few closers. Yeah. Well, relief.
No doubt, man. I mean, there's things they got to work on, but they're finding ways to win right now. And last night was an impressive victory. It really was. 15 minutes after the hour, I got a few texts here. Mysterio, they all have punchable faces in Golden State. Green Acres, hopefully some CSU transfers coming soon. Yeah, there are some good news. Are we saying, is it Tavi Jackson from Las Vegas is committed to Colorado State men's basketball team? His senior high school stats, 26 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game. Is he the kind of guy you think could be like an instant starter? I asked Kevin Lytle that at practice, CSU football practice this morning, and he's like, hey, maybe he's one of those guys that could make an instant impact. 16 minutes after the hour, we'll talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. And we'll uplift some things because it was a positive day out at practice at CSU today. Obviously, that was a blast because they're just throwing the ball all over the place. We'll talk about CSU practice coming up next with Mike Brohard. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break. You're listening to the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Oh, no. You know what? Turns out, you know what? Fun fact about this girl, Shades? I bet you had no idea. Miley Cyrus is Hannah Montana. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Keeping up with the real sad songs there. We were going happy in the first hour, but you decided there was no cheering me up today, Jades. Is that right? This is a very underrated song, by the way. It's so good. I love it. Let's get Mike Brohard's thoughts on this. Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. What is that song called? What's the name of that song?
I know hard to say, Chicago, I'm sorry. And Chicago was better prior to Peter Cetera taking over the lead. Vocals,
so,
I thought.
So you didn't that song is not really your cup of tea.
25 or 624. That's a great Chicago song. You know, yeah. I was more in Chicago before Peter Cetera did that.
Well, yeah. I need suggestions because I'm just after a rough Nuggets game last night, Mike. And I, you know, it's funny. I pulled into CSU practice. I got out, and you know, there was country music going. And as soon as I kind of get there to the field, you know, a rap song kicks in, and one of the lyrics, and I don't remember what it was, but it was something about Steph Curry hitting three pointers. And it just, I was like, come on, guys, come on, dude, let's not talk about Steph Curry. Let's forget about him. So I think they did that on purpose, Mike.
That song plays every day. 8 times during the 4 hours that they practice.
And I don't really pay attention to it until, like, that's in the back of my mind, and it's just depressing. So maybe we could edit it out. Just see if they'll edit Steph Curry and, you know, just bleep it like it's a cuss word or something. What do you think? Probably not, huh?
I'm not thinking that's going to happen. It's one game, Brady.
I know. They're coming back home. They're coming back home. We got 2 days off here, so we'll be okay. I will say this, though, Mike. It did cheer me up because I have had such a blast when I do get out to CSU practice. I just love seeing quarterbacks throw the ball nonstop. I mean, pretty much when I get there from when I leave, quarterbacks are airing it out. Receivers are making sideline catches, end zone, back of the end zone catches. I will say that cheered me up a little bit today.
Well, I'm glad something did. I mean, You can't be down about everything, Brady. All the time. It's no way to live through life. It really isn't.
It's sports talk radio, Mike. You know that. It's most of the time, and the sky is very much falling, as you know. That's where we go.
That's where you go. What you say.
I got it.
I'm not Chicken Little. Yeah.
Well, Mike, talk to us a little bit about this football program. We got spring ball's wrapping up, man. I mean, we got the spring game coming up on Saturday. I know a lot of big festivities are going on Saturday. But, you know, as you're kind of nearing the end of spring ball, where are you at, man? I mean, the excitement level's crazy. I know that. But I just kind of wanted you to assess what you've seen for the most part out there that really gives you hope or I guess, any concerns heading into more of the off season.
I have no concerns because it's spring ball. But what I like most about spring ball is that it's teaching. And it's a very important spring camp, the first one with the new coaching staff. The nice thing is, you know, the offensive staff pretty much came over mostly intact. The defensive staff had to be assembled. So they're teaching something new. Both systems are something new. But you brought enough players also on the offensive side where you had a quarterback that had run the system, that knows the system, and that helped. He could help teach as well. Like I'm going to work on a story later on this week. The interesting thing about the quarterback room is there isn't a quarterback in there that's more experienced. I mean, they're all redshirt freshmen or younger.
Wow.
So, and that's not normally a room where, you know, you want that kind of an experience. But the truth of the matter is, they're feeling really good about their quarterbacks. Now, step one is Clay Millen played in that system an entire year, and he learned from Carson Strong, and he played under him, and, you know, he's had a full year in that. So they feel really good about what he was doing. But then they had their question marks. Obviously, they liked the freshman that they brought in, but they had to see him in action. They didn't know what was on roster, but they've been really, really pleased with Giles Pooler. And they like the development that they're seeing out of the two true freshmen. So what you have is a quarterback coach in Matt Mummy who's actually really happy with his room and is not really fretting over the fact that, I mean, if you think about it, it's Evan Elias has the most college experience out of anybody in that room. He played three games last year for CSU. He threw 12 passes. He completed seven of them. You know, when you look at Millen, he's thrown all of two college passes. But still, they love the way that all of them are running the offense and the way that they're learning it, and they still have a summer to go through, and then they still have a fall camp to go through. So I think they feel pretty good about that. But to me, the most interesting part about spring ball is the fact that they split it up into two practices, and everybody's getting a ton of reps. Nobody's standing around watching because everybody's getting reps, and that's going to be really important, especially this year, because you had all these new systems being taught. Everybody has to get, you know, practice learning them, and it's not just in the film room. It's actually being on the field and doing it, and I think that's accelerated the process.
I think it is a unique conversation about Clay Millen to Mike and that entire quarterback room, but you're right. When you hear Matt Mummy and Coach Norvell, when you hear them talk about Clay, I mean, it doesn't feel like, at least the conversations we've had with him on the show, it just doesn't feel like you're talking about a really young quarterback. They're going into all the, you know, Matt Mummy's sitting there saying, man, he looks exactly like Carson Strong. He's doing everything like Carson Strong. You just hear this admiration for this guy. So in my mind already, I keep forgetting how young he is just by the way, you know, by the way you hear the coaches talk, by the way you hear you talk, of course, and then even just seeing him out in practice, like you said, it's spring ball, but just seeing it, just seeing that the confidence level continue to grow, it is kind of, it's easy to forget how young the quarterback room really is.
I don't know why, because I keep reminding you how young the quarterback room really is.
I forget everything. Mike, I forgot how to get to practice today, man. I forget everything.
How'd you do that?
You just get lost. Stuff happens.
You went to a different coffee shop, didn't you?
I did, again. You know how. And then I went out the back way. And if I go out the back way, I'm like, where did I park? And then that, you know how that goes.
Yeah, I do. I get it. No, I mean, it's interesting. It is a very young room, but they do have a lot of confidence in who's in that room and the way they're performing. But, you know, you look at that, yeah, they're youth over there. But you still have, you're looking at corners that are coming in, and they want to play a different style. And so you bring in two new corners, and they've got to learn the way things want. And even though you had some youth and experience and a combination at safety, you still want to teach them what exactly it is that you want. So they're doing that. That's the important part of the spring. And I really think, I mean, honestly, if I was a media member and, you know, I went out to the first practice so I could talk to players, and then I had to wait till after the second practice to talk to coaches, it would seem like, you know, those 2 hours in between and find something to do, it would seem odd. But if you're the football coach and you're trying to get as many reps in and you're trying to get as much teaching done as you can, and it's essential to building depth, then this is a perfect way to run camp. And from what I understand, this is the way Jay always runs camp. This is the way it's always going to be, because spring is about teaching. You can get more reps, physical reps, not just mental reps. You get more physical reps by splitting up practice like this.
Yeah, no, I tend to like it. And again, it, you know, for me, watching practice in the morning works out. I don't get to hang out and get the audio that I like, but I do enjoy the mix up, and I think that it's kind of unique. And I'm a fan of that, especially when you have, you know, again, we don't have to talk about it in great detail, but last year was what it was, and getting a big change in almost every area, I think is somewhat refreshing. Mike, I definitely want to check out that quarterback piece. I got to ask you, though, you mentioned cornerbacks. I keep wondering, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, what do you think the key position group is going to be for Freddie Banks in this defense? Because, you know, you look at great defenses in college or the pros or whatever. You know, maybe they got a great cornerback room. Maybe their pass rusher, their philosophy with their pass rushers is there. Do you have a sense of that yet? You know, who's going to kind of be that leading group that will lead this? You know, last year was the defensive line. Do you get any kind of sense just yet?
If you put me on the spot today, who I think is the most developed position group on the defensive side of the ball right now, it has to be the safeties. Beyond a doubt, it has to be the safeties. You have Jack Howell play a lot last year. You have Henry Blackburn, who played a lot. Angel King is playing, free safety, but he's played a lot of football at corner, and he's played for Freddie Banks before. So you've got some experience. If you look at the linebackers, you like the fact that you got DJ and Cameron, you know, back on roster. They were your two leading tacklers. It's a new system. You know, this is a 4-2-5. They're not going to play with a third linebacker. So they're still learning some new things that they have to do. The defensive line lost a ton, but I think people also forget, you know, you've got a three-year starter, Devin Phillips, coming back. I think they're very happy with Mo Kamara and what his skill set is and what he can do, but you do have to fill in some pieces there. So I think we already talked about corners, but so all that taken into consideration, I think your safeties right now are probably your most developed group. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, if you watch how certain defenses play, especially teams that want to play like CSU does, and that's a lot of man coverage, a lot of press coverage, I think of Rocky Long's defenses back in the day in New Mexico and at San Diego State. And then I think Gary Patterson's defenses at TCU, they both like to play that style. But it was predicated on the fact that they had a great pass rush. So you have to have really developed defensive ends and linebackers who can blitz, or even a strong safety that can blitz, that puts that pass rush where it needs to be so that you're forcing the quarterback to make a quick decision so that he's not back there for 3 to 4 seconds in the pocket, and the corners have to cover that long. So that's the other thing that you're still trying to figure some of this stuff out. You know, how key is going to be that the defensive end position and how well they can rush the passer. So it takes a little bit of pressure off the corners playing man.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, this weekend's going to be fun. I think we've been building up to this. Fans are excited about spring ball, at least according to the Twitterverse. They're talking about it. They're pumped about it. The coaches are engaging. They're all over the place. Can you talk to us a little bit about most of the festivities? Obviously, we have the spring game coming up Saturday, but there's a lot surrounding the entire Saturday.
Fans should be excited because it's been really boring around here lately because we haven't had a spring game since before we opened Canvas. So, and that was out at the Lagoon because Canvas was being built and Hughes was being torn down. So there hasn't been a spring game to kind of do anything around. But then you get a head coach in here like Jay Norvell and his wife Kim. They want to be very involved with the community. So you lead into it and you've got the grit run, you know, which is going to support cystic fibrosis. You're going to do that. You're going to start the day with that. And then you're going to have tailgating for the students and for the fans, you know, prior to the spring game. Then you have a spring game. And then right after the spring game's done, they're going to have a youth camp. You know, they're going to let little kids come down on the field, and they're going to have stations, and the players are going to work with them and run through drills with them and stuff like that. So it's not just like a practice like it's been for like 5 years, which has been kind of boring, and it was just watching practice. This is going to be more like a game, you know, but there's a lot of stuff going on around it, and they're making it feel like a game day, and that's why, you know, if you're a fan, you should be excited. It should be pretty fun to come out and watch what's going on and take part in everything. You know, and if you want to, Brady, and I know you're a big fan of this, you're probably going to want to do that grit run.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get the blood pumping before you go sit in the stands. And after that, you know, before that, have a couple, you know, old Aggies.
Well, that and part's then, better. Yeah, I like that. But can you walk the grit run? That's the question I had for you, Mike.
I believe, yes, you can walk the grit run.
Okay, good. That's yeah. It's bad when that's my question.
As long as you do it griddle.
What is that? Yeah. You tell me. I'll train. I'll do whatever. I want to do that. Yes. And that's what I always ask in any kind of race. Can you walk it? And if you can, I'm going to sign up for that.
I just want to see a determined look on your face.
Okay.
As you're on the course.
Oh, I think I could do that, man. Yeah, I could get a determined look on my face. Yeah, I can absolutely do that, my man.
Think about all the old Aggies you'll have after.
Oh, then I'm probably running. If there's a finish line and there's old Aggies down the road, then I could probably make that happen even faster.
See? All about the right motivation.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I was joking with you today. I do love reading your stuff, by the way. You know I do.
One person does.
Well, you do a great job, and I love the fact that you can get these inside stories with these players constantly. And I think that that's a big thing, you know, in the stories and the development of the position groups, or, you know, just the simple fact you're talking about how young these quarterbacks are. I love that aspect of it. And again, you can find all that available at csurams.com. And, man, just keep up the great work, my friend.
I will try and do so. And, you know, Brady, try and be a happier person.
I'm trying
to look at the bright things. Try and find the bright things.
I'm going to the Rockies game tomorrow, and I feel like if they lose
7-3.
Yeah, but
They're if 7-3.
But if I go tomorrow, like let's say they win tonight and I go tomorrow, I'm going to feel like Billy Bean or Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean in Moneyball. Like I'm the curse, and that's going to put me in a foul mood, Mike. So, I don't know. I might need some old Aggies after that too. We'll see what happens.
I just like the gumption that you're showing here and comparing yourself to Brad Pitt.
Well, you know, it's not the first time that I've done that. Nobody else has really picked that up just yet, but I've done it a few times. Hey, let me ask you this. Our friend Tanner Schwint, he's the opposite of me. He's Mr. Positive. He's all in. He's got the Rockies as a playoff team. Are you taking that bet? Are the Rockies a playoff team? Or because I think they're going to be an improved team. I think they already are. Are they a playoff team, Mike?
No, I'm not ready to drink that Kool-Aid.
Okay. All right. Good. Mike brings also some logic. He cheers us up, but he also brings some logic to the show.
I'm a realist at heart.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried about the overuse of the bullpen as the season goes along. It's promising what Kool did yesterday on the mound. But it's out of the norm. I mean, last year he was averaging 4 walks per 9. So you got to hope that he stays that. I mean, you look at like Gomber last year. Gomber came in with a reputation of being able to walk the yard. He cut that down. If Kool can do that, he's good. You know, he can be an upgrade. But, you know, I want to see Kyle Freeland kind of come back more closer to that 2018 form. I'm still not completely sold on the offense, despite the fact that CJ Cron's trying to hit the ball to, you know, Golden right now. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. I'm impressed. I thought the pickup of Randall Grichuk was really smart on their part because I think he's a great center fielder. And I think he can give you some sneaky pot.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's a lot of positives, but I'm with you. I'm still hesitant. I told Tanner, I said, let's talk late May, and let's see if they're still floating over 5 to 10 games over 500. Then it's time to just go crazy, and then I'll go all in. I'll just go all the hell in.
Kinley's arm is still attached to his shoulder when it comes to life.
That's why I talk about depth. You know, right? You don't see depth issues typically in April. When you see them in baseball, you're going to start seeing them late May, early June.
Yeah, I generally go more even to July,
yeah.
Especially when you start looking at the wear and tear on a bullpen, just how many innings that they've kind of had to put together.
Yeah.
By that time, you start to know but I think, you know, if you've got anybody running a pitching staff, I'd like it to be Bud Black because he's done it. He's done it as a player. I'm an old Royals fan. I love Bud Black. I think he's a great manager, and I think he can kind of piece together a bullpen and know when guys are right and wrong and kind of get that. And then, yeah, Tanner's now telling me that I'm going to drink Kool-Aid.
I'm seeing his...
And he spilled the Kool-Aid, which is kind of funny.
Oh, look at
That's
him go.
Nice pun, Tanner.
Wow.
Nice pun.
Look at that.
Tanner is a punny guy.
He is.
And I'm all for it. So if I
he's trying to convert you, man. He's trying to convert you over to that playoff bandwagon.
That's a great pun, but that's still not going to convert me. I'd like to see, you know, Kool go out there and do that about 4 or 5 more times before I'm drinking that Kool-Aid. And honestly, Kool-Aid gets a bad rap because, you know, it was really Flavor-Aid that got drank in that unfortunate circumstance. But everybody always says Kool-Aid.
Oh, love it, man. Mike, appreciate you as always. I can just throw anything at you. Nuggets, what is that, Thursday? Nuggets, Warriors, Thursday. Nuggets at home. What do you got, Mike? Cheer me up. Give me something good.
Do you want me to cheer you up?
Yeah, they winning?
Do you want me to be realistic, or do you want me to cheer you up?
Find a happy medium.
Nuggets by 15?
That'll work. I'll take it. I believe it. You said it. I'm in on it.
You know, the big man with the triple-double to lead the way.
Yeah, let's go there. How about Bones Highland? Just go Bones and Joker. We just start something special there. How about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm all for it.
Okay. All right.
I'm all for it.
Mike, I appreciate you.
I'm all for the return of Maxie Minor, too, as the main mascot.
Oh, yeah. I would be down for that. Well, yeah. Along with, you want to get rid of Rocky?
Rocky's fine, but can you bring back, you know, Maxie?
You can have both. You can have both. I don't think
Maxie
this town's too small
I
for that.
I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, I'd be down. Let's do it.
You know? I mean, come on, man. You got an old miner with a big red mustache? What's not to like?
I mean, having multiple mascots, the Broncos did that kind of thing. I mean, I'm all down. I'm for it, man, 100%.
I'm not saying you have to even bring him back as a mascot, but just the logo of him and more of it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, you know, you're right.
Throw Maxie on, like, you know, one of the shoulders.
Let's go retro kind of style on Thursday. Yeah, I think you're okay. I'm in. I'm in, Mike. I'm in. Let's share some of those old Aggies together soon, my friend. Okay.
That sounds fine. Also, I got to ask you this: if the Avalanche and the New Jersey Devils play, and they're playing in Long Island, and the Devils go with a throwback uniform, do they have to wear the old Colorado Rockies uniforms?
I think they should.
I think it'd be cool.
I think it'd be awesome. I love retro uniforms, man. I think we sometimes get carried away with a bunch of variations of uniforms, but I love going old school. I think it's fun.
I think a lot of people have forgotten, though, that the Devils used to be the Colorado Rockies.
So they just wear the same one. Well, they could wear different colors.
No, they could wear the old Colorado Lanny McDonald sweaters.
I'm for it. I would vote for that. I like it.
All right, there you go.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you, man.
You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. He's not going there just yet. And he's going old school references right there, too, with the Devil's Avs. Wow, that was good. 42 minutes after the hour. We're going to jump out here quick. Jades, we got to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today. Thanks to Mike Brohard for joining us from CSURams.com. Yeah, the exciting stuff happening for Colorado State, no question about it. I'm very, you know, intrigued by what I'm seeing on the offensive side out there. You know, again, I'm not seeing like great playmaking on the defensive side as much, but you only get to see, I'm only there for about an hour in the mornings, and then I'm taking off because we have this little thing called The Whole Show every day. And, you know, you get out and you see them just throwing the ball all over the yard, and that is exciting. It's exciting. Will it translate? Will the Rams bring a consistent winning football team back to Colorado State? I'm sure thinking so right now. You know, a lot to still be examined. Got the spring game coming up on Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Actually, for us, we're going to be doing a live broadcast for UNC football. We'll be out at their spring game on Saturday. Can't be two places at once, Jades. I've tried it. But we're excited to get out Saturday and really delve into some University of Northern Colorado football. See what Ed McCaffrey's crew is all about. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side with what's on TV. We'll be right back. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.154, just about to wrap up the show here. Yeah, we were. It was a reaction kind of Tuesday today, wasn't it? Just kind of trying to assess what we saw yesterday with talking about Michael Malone. And by no means do I think Michael Malone was the problem. Was the number one problem? Do I think he did everything the exact right way? Again, that's how these things go. I do want to see him turning over every stone to see how this, if something else could happen. I get it. They're not a great team, aside from the Joker. Dixon says, Brady, if you were picking teams, you might start with Joker, but then the next 4 to 5 picks would all be Warriors. Like if I just had a fantasy draft. I guess. I don't know. Might think about Giannis in there. I mean, picking teams. Like, what am I picking? Am I just picking the best players? Best players in the league? Is all the Warriors better than Devin Booker? That's a discussion for later, Dixon. Wow, way to get us into a deep conversation. Jordan Poole is a stud, man. He's damn good. They're all damn good. Get a couple of days off. We'll see. I'm out for tomorrow. And then we'll be back at it on Thursday. Be ready for a hometown hype house segment. You're not going to want to miss it. Good night, Northern Colorado.